Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Top of the key for Clark. Flips to Morant. Smith got a hand on it. Four on the shot clock. Morant jumps it underneath. It got deflected. Gets it back. Has to hoist a deep right wing three. Ring it up. Put three on the board. And Ja Morant has 26. That might be the one that puts the lights out in D.C.
Eric Hasseltine, the radio voice of the Memphis Grizzlies, Ja Morant, and that young crew in Memphis taking the NBA's Western Conference by storm. Surprise! These Grizzlies are not who you thought they were, and Eric is kind enough to join us now from Memphis. Eric, after, and I've talked about this on the air, it was a couple of brutal seasons with coaching changes and general manager changes and the roster turning over. So here they are. They're a game above 500. What has been the biggest factor in this Grizzlies turnaround?
Honestly, I think it's the change of style that fits the roster, that that they have brought in a coach that believes in spreading the floor, moving the ball. They're the number one team in the NBA in assists, and they were very lucky on that fateful day in May where they got the number two pick, and they were very stern and astute in their decision-making to take Ja Morant. I don't mean that as any disrespect to RJ Barrett, who I think is a terrific player. They knew they wanted a new, young, dynamic, athletic point guard to be able to kind of shop Mike Conley on the open market and try to move off that contract and try to really move away from what this team had been for 15 years, which was not what the NBA was today. So that ability to pair Ja Morant with Jaren Jackson, getting the draft pick back that they then flipped and moved up and grabbed Brandon Clark, then turning Kyle Korver into De'Anthony Melton and Josh Jackson, who they rolled the dice on, and then signing Tyus Jones and keeping Jonas Valanciunas all of a sudden. The Solomon Hill trade where they sent Chandler Parsons to Atlanta, the whole roster, like you said, how did it happen? The opening night roster, guys really hadn't played together. Right. So it was a whole new group. And it was interesting to watch this all come together. And I think one of the biggest things about it is everybody they brought in, very, very selfless, very, very much about team basketball and making an extra pass and trying to get up and down the floor and trusting one another. It took a minute because they were new to the floor together. That's why they were 6-16 early, but they're 21-10 since because it's clicked. And a lot of it is just because they're playing the game the right way.
It's sort of funny to think about how they started the season, and I don't know a whole lot about Vegas, but there were a couple of different betting outlets that were setting their win total over under at 26.5. And
I saw 25.5. I saw 25.5 in the summer league, yeah. And I was like, ooh, it's going to be like that? And usually those guys are pretty spot on, so I get it.
But here they are. They are already over that, and as I say, they're above 500. So let's talk about Ja Morant because he just had his first career triple-double. So much energy, obviously the skill. How have you seen him grow into this NBA point guard role even in the first few months?
He was so fearless in the first month of the season, so fearless of doing anything, you know, like attacking the rim. Like, he was not worried about getting knocked to the floor. He was not worried about taking a shot. I mean, the dunk that we've all seen, he didn't miss that because he didn't get above the rim. He missed it because if you go back and look at the highlight, and Kevin Love, I thought, really handled that well. He missed it because he looked down at the top of Kevin Love's head as he was jumping over him, who, as we all know, is 6'10". And a good player, and he hit the back iron. He makes that dunk. It's comparable to what Vince Carter did to Frederick Weiss, but we didn't know who Frederick Weiss was. We know who Kevin Love is. It's maybe even a little bit better, but that's how he played. And the thing he had to learn was, when do I hit the gas pedal? When do I ease up? When do I, you know, go full breakneck speed? And when do I slow down and try to get set up in an offense? His biggest challenge right now is he has games where he can absolutely take over a game, and he can, you know, really dominate, but he doesn't do it till the fourth quarter because he's trying to get teammates involved in the first three quarters. And even his father, who's around a lot, T. Morant, who is incredibly supportive, and it's a little weird because I think I may be older than his dad at this point, and so that tells me I've been around this league maybe too long. But he even says, you know, my boy's got to learn how to take over a little earlier. And I'm like, yeah, but he's getting everybody involved. He's doing what he thinks it takes to win a game, which at 20 years old, guys don't do. Guys don't think about, if I just take a step back and let Jonas and Dylan get their game going, I can get my game going at any time I want. That is an incredible grasp of the game. So he's figuring that out. He really, as you said, on that first triple-double, just absolutely, you know, had to put the team on his back in Washington on Sunday because they weren't playing well. They just, you know, it happens in an 82-game season. You're at the end of a three-game road trip. It's game 53. You know, you're staring the All-Star break in the face. You just aren't making shots. They got open looks. They didn't make them. And yet, down the stretch, he said, okay, this isn't happening. We need this win. I'm going to go get it. And the rebounding was the key. He had 7 of his 10 rebounds in the fourth quarter. Now, granted, the last one, I'm the first one to admit, Kyle Anderson, you know, a good teammate, knew he needed a rebound, knew Washington was going to take a shot at the buzzer, and backed away and said, it's yours, you earned this. And it's so weird how 9 rebounds to 10 rebounds means so much, because it's just a single rebound. But it does. And his teammates knew that. Watching them, as somebody put it, I heard, on local radio, and it actually was pretty relevant. You've seen these in college baseball in Omaha, the pile on the mound. They don't pile up at home plate. They don't pile up. Everybody runs to the mound. Everybody ran to him. Everybody off the Grizzlies bench ran to him just for his first triple-double. He's going to get dozens more. There's no doubt. But they were so happy for him. And it was because the entire time he was dominating the fourth quarter, he was also looking to set guys up. And he threw 2 passes in the fourth quarter that on the air, I even went, oh my, I almost want to go, oh my God, what did he just do? Like, how did he get that ball through 3 defenders? And that's the danger. I joked about that Kevin Love game. I told somebody after the game, I said, he's going to get me fired. And they're like, why? And I said, because I'm either going to drop a 4-letter bomb or I'm not going to be able to say what he did. And either one is not good for a radio announcer's career.
If you haven't seen that, well, it was a missed dunk, but essentially he mounts Kevin Love. It's all over Twitter. It happened just before Christmas, right? It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Eric Hasseltine, the radio voice of the Grizzlies, and he's got it on his Twitter as well. So you mentioned the youth, and I think this is fascinating. A 30-year-old general manager, a almost 35-year-old head coach, and one of the youngest rosters in the NBA. What's that like?
It makes me feel old every day. The 902-year-old radio announcer who's been here forever. No, it's great. And I can't be dishonest about it. And you and I talked about it in the summertime off radio. I didn't know what Zach Kleeman could do. And the moves they've made are incredibly savvy when it comes to what you have to do with a small market team. You don't have the luxury of being able to go deep into the cap and the tax. You don't have the luxury of being a top 10 media market where you're radio and TV rights afford you the opportunity to spend more money than you have, or the fact that you can draw on a 5 million person fan base in your, you know, regional area to draw people to the games. We don't have that here in Memphis. And it's what San Antonio had done so brilliantly, and it's what other teams have done brilliantly. So my assessment of seeing them is just like, they've they came in knowing they didn't know everything, and so they put people around them that have been around them. Mm. Zach had interned a long time ago for Rich Cho, who for a while was the general manager of the Charlotte Hornets, and then Glenn Grunwald, who was up with Toronto for a while. Those guys came in. Tayshaun Prince was already in the front office. They retained his services. And as quiet and as mellow a demeanor as Tayshaun can be, the man knows basketball and he knows players. And so they have gone to work together, and no voice in that office, from what I've been told, is louder than the others. It's a collective effort. Then you bring in a guy from the Greg Popovich tree and Taylor Jenkins, who helped design what's going on in Milwaukee, what happened in Atlanta with Mike Budenholzer. Obviously, Coach Budenholzer is the big driving force, but the guy right beside him the entire time was Taylor Jenkins. And I had seen him play or coach in the summer league and seen the way his teams played. And I remember going, if that's the guy I think it is, these teams play fun, but they're going to have to change the roster to get that to go the way they want it to go. And they did that. And so the hardest thing for teams in small markets to do sometimes is to say goodbye to players that become local legends. Tony Allen, Zach Randolph, Mike Conley, Mark Gasol. And maybe they held on to those guys for a smidge too long, but you sometimes have to.
Right.
But they recognized they needed to move in a different direction. And they were willing to say, hey, we're going to rebuild this year. Nobody expected this. But they've also now gotten to the point where it's a reality. So they're also not going to go, well, since nobody expected it, let's try to hang on to our draft pick and pull back the range. They went to heck with it. We're going full bore ahead. We want that eighth spot. If we can get into the seventh spot, even better. We believe these kids are gelling faster because they share the basketball, play unselfishly, and trust one another. And their schedule down the stretch is brutal. There's no doubt about it. After the All-Star break, they have the toughest schedule of any remaining, you know, group, that group that's looking at the playoff, that eighth spot,
right?
Their schedule's the toughest. But they've also shown the ability to hang with those really good teams. And I think they believe that this, the moves they've made by the trade deadline, what they did with Andre Iguodala, which is another story we can talk about on another night, because it was frustrating being here and hearing people say, oh, you guys are holding this guy hostage. You're doing this. No, we were doing what was best for our organization, which was using an asset to try to get another asset. And if it finally came down to it and you had to let it go, you would. But people just didn't understand that. And I get that. I totally understand that. But from our perspective, they had to get in the front office what they felt was the best deal. And
sure,
they felt like getting Justice Winslow was. And so now, even if it doesn't happen this year, they've set themselves up for the next handful of years to have a starting lineup that includes Ja Morant, Dylan Brooks, who's scoring almost 17 points a game, Justice Winslow, Jaren Jackson, and Jonas Valanciunas. It's a pretty good starting five. Is it the 73-win Warriors starting five? No, but nobody's claiming it is. But for us to be relevant that quickly after a long playoff run, that's also really good for a small market team, because we've seen how long it can take teams to get back into the postseason after being out of it. It's not always a guarantee.
Proving the doubters wrong. Love it. You can find Eric on Twitter at Eric Castletine. I'm forever telling people how to pronounce your name because I want people to get it right. You can hear him on the Memphis Grizzlies radio network, and it's always good to catch up. Thanks so much for a couple of minutes.
I appreciate you always calling me on this wonderful, fine, late night Amy Lawrence extravaganza program. You know I'm just messing with you on that, by the way, right?
You better be.
I am. You know I love you. Thank you so much.
I once did an appearance on Eric's local show in Memphis, and he introduced me as the host of the Amy Lawrence Show.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.